115. You never say them in all of them.
Okay. Welcome back to episode 115. I want to say 114 because I wasn't here last week, but it's okay. It existed without me. And anyway, we are here with the usual suspects of Shy and Ninja. Yeah. And today I'm excited. We have Firebird Bricks. This is the first time we've met. But I think we're going to have a great conversation about content and content creation and moving forward from there, which is, I think a lot of you guys out there have been enjoying that. So stay tuned for a cool episode. But before we get into it, you can listen to every version of our episode either on Spotify or where you can get your podcasts. And then you can also listen to us on YouTube if you want to watch our ugly mugs. So anyway, let's get into it. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds great. That was perfect. Awesome. Good job. We're not doing that for a long time. It's good.
I haven't intro in a while, so Shy makes me do my homework. since I, you know, this podcast is a lot of work for me. I'm joking. anyway, so who are you? Shy likes to ask people when they get on here, who are you? A loaded question, by the way, but I guess. Yes.
Yeah. So my name's Caleb. I go by Firebird Bricks on Instagram, YouTube, whatever. Things in the Lego space. I do mostly mock videos, some commentary stuff, a little bit of tutorials here and there. Yeah, that's essentially me as far as the Lego stuff goes.
The mock thing, I think you're strong at. Do a lot of other content, like you do, you know, heavily Star Wars. You did some army building built videos, yes, which I love a lot, yes, and a lot of other people love a lot. Yeah. But you do some like other random like commentary videos, like the investor one was another one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And, like, recite a bunch of them. But before we get into that, what got you into like Lego in general?
So like a lot of people, I think Lego was kind of a thing in my childhood. I had some Lego Star Wars stuff. I was into Bionicle quite a bit when I was younger. I was kind of like right at that perfect age range for the start of Bionicle. So I was into that when I was younger. Castle stuff as well as a kid. But Lego was kind of hard for me to get a hold of, actually, because I grew up in Africa and Thailand. And so in Africa, like getting a hold of Lego was like super difficult. So basically every time we would have people come visit my family from like the US or whatever, they'd be like, hey, what do your kids want? Like, what do they want us to bring for them? And for me, it was always like, bring me a Bionicle or bring me a Lego Star Wars set or something like that. Like, that's always what I was down for. So, yeah, I was into that at that point. No mock building or anything like that. I mean, I tried to make stuff with my Bionicle parts or whatever, which
is good. Yeah, absolutely.
Some of those Bionicle mocks are pretty crazy, though.
They are. There's some very talented people.
Yeah.
They're very sculptural. It's like, it feels like they're kind of in their own little like art bubble and art form. Right.
I feel like that's a whole other subset of like skill and mm-hmm. talent there.
Yeah.
When you were in like Africa and Thailand, though, did I assume, you know, you're old enough that it wasn't like social media that was giving you access to Lego? Was it like a catalog? Like, how did you find out about, or did you see stuff on shelves and it was just like inflated because it was, you know, like imported or like what?
Sure. So it was kind of like basically where we lived in Africa was in Malawi, which is like the fourth poorest country in the world, I think. I don't know if that's still the case, but that was the case at the time. So like, they didn't even import Lego. Like, it just wasn't really a thing. Mm-hmm. And so I had access to YouTube as a kid. And so I would find like these like Bionicle trailers on YouTube and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And like the way our internet was, like we had like a LAN cable that ran out to this pole that stuck off the top of our house with like a receiver that pointed at the cell mm-hmm. tower on the mountain. And so that's like how we got our internet there. And
that sounds like the guy that stole what's it called, electricity from the city, like one of my dad's like tenants in like a rental unit he had or something like that, did the same thing. Very creative, but he probably learned how to do it in Malawi apparently. That's awesome. That's good to know. So you're young enough, this puts things in perspective, I guess, like going into talking about content creation, because there is a significant difference creating content when you've grown up watching YouTube. And you can see now like the people that are really coming to light and really are the ones that grew up watching YouTube and have done it for a while. Like whether or not you were making content or not, like it's having exposure to it is a big deal. Cause like for Shy and Ninja and I, we didn't, especially Shy and I, like, you know, like YouTube was something I got into at the end of graduate school. So, and that was still early, right? So it just like the timing is very different. Anyway, very cool.
Yeah, I feel like I was into it like at a pretty young age. I mean, I think it was like 2007, 2008. So right around the beginning
That's and very like, early. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very early on, which I'm kind of surprised about because I was like 12 or something like that.
Doesn't it make you think like, I wish I started a channel back then?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, you look at people like Ryan or, you know, Solid Brick Studios
have been
doing
stuff
like, David, who's been doing this stuff for so long and see where they are now. And it's because they've been doing it for like 10 years or whatever. But I mean, I've tried YouTube channels in the past on different topics. I do some like stuff with music production. So I did a little channel with that and put like two videos on there. But with the Lego stuff is like the first time I actually started posting consistent content and getting into all of that. But
all right, so you kind of touched on it right there. So what was the step into making a dedicated Lego channel?
Yeah, I think for me, it was kind of like once I started getting back into Lego as an adult, it was like 2020. And my wife was with me at, I think it was like a Meijer, which is like our Walmart in the Midwest or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were walking down the Lego aisle and I saw like all these Star Wars sets. And I've loved Star Wars my whole life, but I hadn't really gotten any sets from like the time that I was in Thailand up until after college and stuff like that. So it was kind of like 2020 when a lot of people got back into Lego. And I saw all these sets and I was like, there's so many parts here that they're using for these sets that I'd never seen before. Like the models look so much more refined, especially when you compare it to like the early 2000s stuff to now, it looks so much more detailed and stuff like that. So I was like, man, I really want to get a set. And she was like, no, you don't need to get into Lego. Like I'm a bit of a serial hobbyist. So she's like, Hey, hold on. Let's kind of take a break here. And you know, maybe for your birthday or something, we'll get you a set. So she teamed up with my family members and they got me a couple sets for my birthday in 2020. And from there, it was pretty much like straight down the rabbit hole.
Do you think she regrets that decision by getting
She's into it too now. I mean, she loves the botanical stuff. Every modular building, she's the one building. Like I don't get to build the modulars. She's all about that. So she's into it too. Not as much as I am, but she's definitely into it. I mean, she's coming to Brickworld with me this year and stuff like that. So yeah, so it should be a lot of fun. But kind of going on from there, I guess like the next step for me after getting into it, I started acquiring more sets and watching like mock videos on YouTube and everything like that. And I was like, man, I want to make mocks. Like seeing the creativity and everything that comes alongside that, I was just super intrigued by it. And so I started collecting parts and everything like that. And I actually didn't start building any mocks. I was just collecting parts because I was kind of in this mindset of like, I don't have enough pieces yet. I don't have exactly what I need to build.
It's pretty common. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of in this like stagnated place of like just collecting pieces. Mm-hmm. So I was going to pick up brick walls, getting stuff. And I'm glad I did at that point because there's a lot of stuff that was available then that's not available now that was really good fundamentals. But I think it was really the thing that flicked the switch for me was going to Brickworld last year. I didn't go on private days or anything. I just went on a public day. So we did like a day trip out of it. And we drove down there. It was, I think, the Saturday. And I remember going around and looking at all the mocks and just being like blown away by how detailed and creative everything was from like the movement, the lighting, seeing like all the stuff that the guys from like Empire Lug and Rebel Lug were building. Like I was super interested in that because of the Star Wars stuff. I was like, I need to build mocks. Like I got back and like the next day I was like, I'm building mocks now. Like I'm doing it. And so I made my first mock at that point. And that kind of seamlessly transitioned me into the content creation side of things because I thought if I'm building mocks, people who build mocks post them. They post them on Instagram or they post them on YouTube and stuff like that. So I just started getting into it from building mocks and then going straight into the content creation side of things. And from my background, like I work in digital marketing. I studied film and media and graphic design and all this stuff in college. So I kind of had like these random skills that sort of fit together to help with the content creation side of things. And especially being interested in data and all that kind of stuff, as I started getting into the content creation, seeing the feedback of like the retention graph and like all these things, click through rate, I was like, how can I make this better? How can I do better? And it just propelled me to build more and more mocks and get more into like all the content creation stuff. So,
I mean, that was a very quick, like what, 2 years, a year and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching one of your videos and you started, you're like, yeah, I only got into this in 2020. And then behind you, you have this like fully organized parts collection that's like looks really clean and looks and it's like I know that like friends of mine that have been in the hobby for like 10 years would like only hope to have. And so and like but I think if you said it, you're like, I'm a serial hobbyist. And so it's like when you get into something, you get into it hard. I'm the same way. And so it's like if I commit something, like, and I usually stay with it like my whole life. Like I haven't, there's like hobbies that I've gotten into that I've never let go. Most of them I've never let go. Like I got into cooking when I was like 13, and now I have like this, you know, floor to ceiling shelf of cookbooks, and I still cook every day, and I still record my own stuff. You know, I still do like, and I did content for a while with it, you know, and like, I'm still borderline thinking about doing that, but whatever, it doesn't matter.
Wait, like, is there a hidden like cooking channel for you?
No, there will be one, and it will probably do better than my Lego content because I actually have like pretty serious knowledge base. Like, if I think about it, I've been cooking for 23 years, and so, which is kind of wild, but anyway, regardless. Yeah. So then, like, I got into cosmetics, you know, and same thing. And these are, I've kept up with all this stuff, but I go in hard, man. Like, I don't, like, I don't F around. Like, I am in, and I, it's just, it's like money, time, resources are like into
dive
it.
Dive straight so, in the deep end.
Yeah. And I think Lego is definitely one of those. And it's cool to see that. Like, you know, I was watching your video. I was like, okay, not only is like the quality really good in terms of like the filming and the lighting, like this guy knows what he's doing, but he's like set up his space, and it looks like a really cool space to be in, which is nice, which makes you want to do stuff more, obviously, right?
100%. So. I've definitely taken over the basement a little bit more. I mean, initially when we moved into this house, it was like a living room area. Now it's like half Lego, half living room. It's all laid out a certain way and everything. And like you're saying, like diving into stuff hard, it's just, I love the process of research and just learning more. And like, I feel like I almost like run out of like stuff to watch on YouTube, and that's kind of part of like the thing too with the content creation, is like making the stuff that you want to watch, and that's part of what also interested me in getting into it. But seeing people's videos, like I love watching people's videos about how do you sort your collection and what's like the logic behind it, because you know, maybe it makes you more efficient of a mock builder to have your parts sorted a certain way or whatever. Like all those types of things are super interesting to me,
and everybody has like different styles and different methods and stuff. So very cool.
All right, let's get into like the your aim and goals for your content. So you have different, you know, different things that you talk about essentially for your channel, right? You do mocking, you have commentary, but like, what would you think like your bread and butter of all that would be?
I honestly don't think my channel has been around long enough to have a bread and butter. Like, I feel like I'm still trying things and seeing what sticks and stuff like that. And I kind of view it as like, my videos, each one of my videos sort of functions as like the marketing funnel to my channel. You know, at the top you have like the awareness and stuff like that, and then you go down to like, for YouTube it's like the subscribe, and then the advocacy for your channel, people who become interested in stuff like that. And so my approach has been kind of trying to cast a wide net and see what people like to watch, because I think that everybody has their own perspective and interest to add to each of these topics. And so like, if I make an army building video, it's going to be different from like a shy army building video, of course.
You know?
I
felt called out in the last one. Like, why?
Why are you army building? I'm
like, really?
The first two things, I'm like, yeah, I do like them because I could afford it and have it now. And I do like looking at them. I think this is really cool. I was like, damn, is he talking to me? No, but anyways, I'm sorry. I interrupted.
No, you're good. But yeah, I think right now kind of it's a lot of like, it's sort of trial and error, but I don't view it as a negative thing with where my channel's at right now. Cause like I have like 30 something videos maybe at this point, which is really not a lot. And, you know, especially with the amount of time I've been doing serious content creation, it's been like, I started posting consistently in October and here we are, it's March. Like, that's not very long. And so I feel like looking at my content and seeing what performs well and what doesn't helps, it informs me of what to make more in the future. But I also know that like YouTube treats every video on like a case by case basis. And so maybe if some of my commentary videos do well, then they'll promote more of my other commentary videos. Like that's kind of some of the approach there. But I don't really get frustrated if something doesn't perform well. Like it just is what it is. And I move on to the next thing and try the next thing and see how it can go.
And that's like the perfect thing to tell, like, because there are a lot of people out there that get really upset when like their videos don't perform. And it's, there's really, I would only suggest to dwell on it for like 30 minutes and then move on to the next, because there's really not much you can do about it at that point. I mean, you could do things like change your thumbnail, change your title, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, in the long scale, it's just like, okay, move on. If you can't just sit there and just look at your analytics and hoping that it's better. But no, like example, you have some videos that you've made that have over 200K. Well, first off, having 37 videos and almost hitting 10K, that's like good job. That's very that's a rarity. So I just want to say that. But
appreciate
another
it.
Thing though is that if you look at your channel, some videos that are like that broke 200K. You have some videos that are at like, you know, mid halfway 25s to 50s, and you have some that are like 3 or 4 or just under that. So what can you like break up to which of those videos are the top, like are leading to like which, what are the variables to make it past the 100K mark?
Yeah. I really think that the challenge type videos tend to do super well. And you can see that just in the space in general. I mean, if you watch other LEGO content creators, it's a, I built this in however many days, or I spent this much money making this thing, or I built my army. And it's kind of like this idea of like spectacle of like, well, how did they do that or something like that? You know, you're interested for that side of things, I guess. But I think with the way that these pieces of content perform, like I view like the ones that perform super well, like these challenge type videos are almost for me just kind of like a kite. It's like, you know, it's going up there. It's pulling my channel up. There's new people that are seeing my channel for the first time and hopefully becoming interested in my other stuff. And that just brings up my baseline viewership. So like what I've seen as I've been posting some more of these like challengey videos that tend to do better is that my baseline viewership went from like 200 views a video up to 1,000 views a video. Now it's hitting more like 2 to 5K. Like I can pretty much guarantee that anything I post will hit somewhere within that range at the minimum. And so I don't see it as those things performing negatively necessarily. It's just performing at a base level with core audience. So I guess that's kind of my perspective on it.
No, that's awesome. I mean, like, but it, there's different like rubrics or, you know, like baselines that you can consider like success. And I think a lot of people have, you know, I think the ultimate success is having the same number of views that you, or at least more than you're getting per your subscriber count. You know, if there's like a huge disparity, why aren't you, you know, then you start questioning. You're like, okay, if like a million people watch my videos and I only have like 1,000 subscribers, like, why is that? Like, why aren't people wanting to stay? Why aren't they wanting to stay more? You know, and it's like, you start kind of questioning that. And I'm curious if you've like gone through that process. You're like, obviously, especially some of your bigger videos, like, you know, I think your biggest video has like 400K or something like that, which is incredible. And it has, you know, the thumbnail that, you know, we've all copied in some form of another, like, thank you, TD Bricks, you know, for bringing that into the space, you know, and, you know, credits due where credits due. And he, you know, it's obviously like, so you packaged it right. You like put the right content, or you put the right, you know, gift wrapping and bow on it so that people came to the video. And then, so like, what is considered like a good, like, does that video have good retention? Like, I'm curious, like, does it, how long, when did people like leave, you know, and like, how many subscribers did you get from that 400,000 views? Like, that to me is like really the interesting part, because step one is like packaging the product, right? And it, cause it's like 99% of it is like putting that gift wrapping on. No one's going to open it up if it doesn't look nice. But then after they open it up, then you got to get them to stay, and you got them to get them to stay through the video. And then you got to have to get them to stay forever by subscribing. Right. So that those are essentially like three steps. And like, it, as far as like from the experience of someone watching. Right. And then as the creator, you're basically wanting to guide them through those three steps. Is that a good way of putting it? Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 I think you're missing one part is topic. I think topic of whatever the video is showing is very important.
I think it's important, but I think, think about, there's channels out there, like even outside of LEGO, that it doesn't matter like what the subject matter is. If it's like incredibly well packaged and like well delivered, you can watch, like, do you remember like a couple years ago, Sans showed us a video that was, it's this one creator and he does essentially like, I don't want to say anthologies, but he has this like multi-million viewed video, and it's just about the different DVD cases of the Simpsons TV shows over the years. Like, I could not give less about that. You know what I mean? Like, there's absolutely no way that I care about that. But that was a video that I watched to completion because of it. You know, I clicked on it and I watched it. And that's to me.
But why did you click on it?
Because of the packaging. That's why my point is, the topic is irrelevant if it's packaged properly.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. I get it. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Anyway,
but I feel like in that case, it comes to the point of like curiosity of like, what's so significant about this thing that somebody's taking the time to make a piece of content about it? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the draw for something like that. But mm-hmm. I think the packaging is super important. And you do see like people doing a really great job of that, like TD Bricks, Sacred Bricks, like mm-hmm. Doing very Mr. Beast style editing and all that kind of stuff. And that's not for me. Like, that's not what I'm interested in.
Right.
Definitely, I have a lot of respect for what they do, because if you look at the content in some of those videos, you can tell it took hours and hours and hours and hours to make that stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, you kind of live and die by these videos that you post, what, once a week, maybe every other week, and today. They seem to be doing well.
Yeah.
So I feel like for me, like, since that's not my style, mm-hmm. I try and look at that and say, okay, what are they doing successfully that I can take and use to my mm-hmm. advantage without becoming what they are, because that's
disingenuous to like do. Completely right. mimic them, you 100%. Know, like, and I think if you're not in that age group, or if you're not like, if you don't consume that specific content yourself, it's going to seem disingenuous, right. Which I think is like quite literally suicide on social media.
100%. Yeah. I think looking at the way that they package their videos is, it's a great way for me to say, okay, this is a good way for me to learn from this and try and figure out how I can get more people to click on my videos, because that's the hardest part, is getting that click-through rate. And so if you can get people there in the first place, like, yeah, maybe they fall off real quick and the retention's bad, but mm-hmm. that's your fault for not making a good video, not exactly. making something that's entertaining enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a tree falling in the forest. Like, if the video is really good but you do a poor thumbnail, or you know don't title it correctly, yeah. it doesn't matter how good the video is, it's like it didn't yeah. happen. You know?
And touching on like what Shai was saying about topic, I do think that there is something there. Like, I think before I made my Lego investing video, I considered whether to even make a video commenting on the topic of Lego investing, because mm-hmm. if you look on YouTube and you sort by highest view count for like a topic like Lego investing, there's actually mm-hmm. not views there. There's not a ton of views there. There are some mm-hmm. channels that are doing well, getting some consistent views with people who are very interested in that. But mm-hmm. for me, making a one-time off like commentary video on that, I knew that that probably wasn't going to do well, but at the same time, I was interested in it. I wanted to make the video. I thought it would be entertaining, and I knew that some people would be entertained by it. So mm-hmm. I feel like going into that and managing the expectations just based mm-hmm. on the data mm-hmm. is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And as a creator, even if you like knowing, like I know some videos are going to do well, and I still do them anyways, but it's the process of what you're learning when you put something into that video, I think, is the most important thing about it. So as long as you got something out of it when you posted it, it only makes your videos in the future 10 times better. You know what I mean?
It's not I agree. It's hard though. It's like, it's one of those things. It's unfortunately, like, you can say like everything is like a learning experience, but like YouTube and social media is one of those spaces where like your actions can actually hurt you as well. You know, not that nothing is like that, but I think that barrier is really high. So like I don't know, and I could be wrong with this. So like I've changed like my style of doing videos. Like the last two videos that I've done are a complete departure of everything else. And I've talked a little bit about this. And so in the last week, I've basically gone through, and I have exactly 100 videos on my channel, which is like kind of nice, like nice little number. And part of me wants to like always just have 100 videos and like delete one, and if I add another and stuff, but that's a different OCD tick. But I have gone through, and I think I hid 93 videos. And so I did that because I didn't hide them because I didn't want to like unlist or private, because it would trash my views, and I'm having some issues with like other things going on, because I uploaded in like a different place that like YouTube thinks doesn't exist. And so I had like, I made like $1 on a video I should have made like $50 on. So it like will reduce and like, you know, temper your RPM and CPM. Like Sans should have made like $1,000, and I think he made like $200. And so like it sucks. Just be careful. If you move to like a new area where like nobody lives, like YouTube will think you're faking buying bots. That's what they thought for us. But separate from that, I was like, if someone goes to my channel, and if the future of my channel are these last two videos, and they go and they see Sans and I putzing around going to Target, which is like, I did a lot of those like vlog style videos for like a couple years. It's going to hurt the channel, right? It's going to hurt those new viewers because they're not there to see that. And so I made them for members only, because I figured if people want to stay and want to hang out and want to support the channel, they wouldn't mind watching videos like that. So I don't know. It was a pretty aggressive move to go through. Like, if you go to my channel now, like it says 100 videos and you can see 7 or 6 or something like that, you know, and And I don't know, I feel like, you know, we're time stamping on March 9th, even though this will air on March 10th. Let's see what happens if Claire like totally trashed her channel. or whatnot. Because that's also kind of fascinating to me. You know, like, did I make a good move? Did I clean it up?
It's effectively a rebrand for you, right? Like, that's pretty much what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, like, I basically, like, spent a year just, like, totally, like, this podcast episode's about you, but let's just talk about me for a second. No, so basically, like, I struggled for like a year. I like went back and looked at my content and I was like, I don't like this. I don't even want to watch my own content. It's like, I don't respect it. I don't like it. I went to conventions just like you did. And I have a design background. I went to architecture school. I practiced architecture. I still do. And I love creating stuff, cooking, cosmetics, whatever it is. I love making things art. And so I was like, I have the skill set. I bet you to like do mocks and stuff like that. So I always like wanted to do the mocks. I had a live stream series with a friend of mine that I'm going to be picking up soon again, just like self plug. But so that was always like important. So I was like, okay, how do I do that? And then I swear to God, if you just go back to some old Callie Brickley Click episodes, I was like, I think I want to do content like TD Bricks, where he puts like stories to his mocks. And this was like, he probably had like 90,000 subs at this point, not even. And right. I swear to God, I said that. And I don't want to be like a typical old fart hipster who like says, I found this before that. But like, I swear to God, like that kid is, I mean, he's not even a kid anymore, but like, you know, he's been doing content for like 7-8 years. And I think it's been respectable for the majority of that time. And he basically took what he was doing, which was like, you know, pretty decent mocks, and then repackaged them and put a story to it. Mm-hmm. And then he started editing them like, you know, for like younger audiences and stuff. And now I like watch him at 0.75. No, I don't. I watch him at the same speed. But like, you know, and so I was always like motivated by that. What?
I can't get past 30 seconds. I'm like, go next.
Oh, really? I know. I can watch his content. I can absolutely watch his content. There's other people like, I can't watch Sacreds. I don't know why. There's like more like memes and stuff in that one, I think. Sounds. But, you know, I think I'm like 25 years too old for that one. But, you know, anyway, my point is, so I like wanted to respect my own channel. So I did the shift, right? Like, and it is a complete rebrand. So I feel like if you see me like a vlog of me around Disneyland, it's going to be hurtful versus like me doing little like chibi police station, you know, mocks. Right. Yeah, so like, anyway,
is that the next one?
That's the next one. So that's my life story.
I think so many secret plugs right there. That was nice.
I know. Right. That was like four plugs in like, in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, right.
I would agree though. Like, I think the packaging is absolutely like so important, because I think people want to stay for story and like some sort of narrative. That's what draws people in. I even think about my mock videos that I was posting at the beginning. Like, it's still there on my channel. You can go watch it. You can see it. That I was with my phone and I was just filming, and I'm talking about my mock while I'm showing different things. And if you look at that versus like the most recent video that I posted, I built 3 mocks in 3 days. I didn't even come up with the idea to call the video that until after I did it. I just realized, I was like, oh, I really just banged these out real quick, got them done. It was 3 days. This makes for a more interesting video title. And so,
it really was 3 days. I thought you just,
it actually was. No. It legit was 3 days. I stayed up pretty late working on those for a couple days in a row,
but that's like mock building. You get into that
flow state or something. Yeah, like
exactly
that.
Exactly. Flow state.
In the zone. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, absolutely. So I think that adding some sort of narrative or story to it just makes it so much more interesting. Rather than just saying, I built this thing, people are like, all right, cool, why should I care about it? Like, what's the intrigue? So I think trying to take that approach to things has been successful for me, at least.
No, I get that. I mean, meta-wise, like, a lot of people are using the thumbnails that you use. Like, Claire's done it. I've tried doing it. Like, everyone's done it. And I've seen a lot of creators get away from it, from doing it. Like, they tried it, and they're like, nope, let's move back. And for me, personally, I'm not speaking for the rest of YouTube, my type of viewership is not, or me viewing it isn't the typical viewer. Like, I don't, if I see that thumbnail, I ignore it. Because I just think it's the same thing over and over again. The only reason I'll click on it is if I so happen to see who it's done by. So if I see your thumbnail, like your little circle in the bottom below it, or, you know, Josh's or Claire's or whoever does it, I'll click on it because I know you. But for the most part, if you were to like zoom out and then you see all of the Lego community have the same thumbnail design, it's a lot.
So I'm going to fight you on this one. every single thumbnail design style out there is copied from something else. And it just depends. It's just a trend that's coming and going. So this whole thing, like someone being surprised or outlining someone in a white outline, that's been done before. It's just been around for a little bit longer. So it seems like it's more standard and people feel some kind of like personal ownership over it. But I can tell you, if someone's going like this in a video, I will never click on it. So like I have that same reaction. Do you know what I mean? Like I do not watch Mr. Beast content. I am one of the not one of the like 500 million people that don't watch Mr. Beast. Like I am one of those people, right? What?
I'm so subscribed to Mr. Beast though.
Yeah, no, but my point is like I don't like you could say the same thing about that other style of content, right? And or like the other style of thumbnail too. And it's just like I don't know why I think people, especially content creators, have a hard time adapting, changing, and accepting new change. And I think that's when you watch people. I'm not saying this is going to happen to you. I'm absolutely not saying this, Shy. But I do know that there are some bigger content creators out there that have been on the platform for a long time and are not adapting. And that's why they're no longer the biggest Lego content creators. And even though they have dedicated followings, they're not getting the views and the revenue that these like younger people are who are changing the and breaking kind of the ceiling a little bit. Because, you know, like for years on this channel or like on this podcast, I can actually say that now, which is kind of crazy. We've talked about how if you want to do really great content, if you want to make money on YouTube, don't do Lego. Go do Minecraft. Go do gaming. Go do something else. Go do real estate. Go to finance. Exactly.
That's the one. That's the key.
And like fair. But, you know, at the same time, these guys like TD, Sacred, and like it's mostly TD. Everyone's like just a crappier version of his content. But like, you know, he's like pushed the envelope so far that it's like you're like, wait a second. There's space for people to make legitimate livings, legitimate money on YouTube, and it's only benefiting everybody else. All those other people that he's bringing in with his, like, he gets more views than, like, not like Markiplier, but like Eddie Burback. These are like big YouTubers, big mega YouTubers. He's getting, even though they have higher subscriber counts than them, he's getting more views than they are. So he's like pulling in younger audiences, bringing them into the hobby. And guess what? It benefits the rest of us. You know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like you can't be an old fart and like rejecting change and being, you know what I mean, Shy? I'm like,
I'm not degrading the method of all that. I completely support it. I'm just speaking for me, and that's why I said in the very beginning, like there was like a minute there for like a couple months when everyone was doing it, like even like our friends were all doing it, and I honestly couldn't tell who was who after a certain point. So I was just like, it was just overwhelming for me.
Right.
So like I, even the non-YouTubers that are in the, the non-Lego YouTubers that I watch with are a lot of them also started doing the same type of thumbnails and like watching them do it too. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like literally everywhere, which is fine, whatever, I'll accept it. But it didn't entice me to click on them as fast as I would normally. It wasn't until like if I see a photo of you in the thumbnail, it doesn't matter if it's you or if like, you know, I'm more likely to click on it because you're presenting yourself. So,
that's also like, because of your personality, though, and you also like watch YouTube content for people. But you're, I think, unfortunately, at the minority. There was like an observation that I think it was Sans that did it, and I always quote him here. But it was like, if you go back and look at like some of the really, really big content creators, and also you have to like be a little bit like a little bit like realistic. Unless you're a mega content creator, your face is irrelevant. Like 100%. Unless.
100%.
Yeah. Like nobody knows who you are. Your face doesn't do anything. Who cares if you're excited or you're shocked or you're in awe or whatever it is? Do you know what I mean? Like there is, and then like, unless you get to that level, and if you go back and look at some of those really big content creators, they don't put their face in it until after, you know, they become relevant, which is, I think, a really good point. Cause it's like, what happens is people like will look at Mr. Beast, or they'll look at even TD Breaks, or they'll look at other people who are these like quite in retrospect, really big creators. Right. And they'll be like, they're going to be like, I want to mimic this person. I'm going to mirror what they're doing. But that bubble that they're in, or that caliber that they're in, whatever you want to call it, that level is not the same. And it doesn't mean a small channel can grow in the same way as what that channel is doing like further down the line. Does that make sense? Right. And I think like putting your face on a thumbnail is very much like that. So for our space, Ryan's face is unfortunately recognizable, you know, and I say this because <I'm> mine. But you know what I mean? Like Ryan has developed a following where you go to Lego conventions and there's a line out the door to see him. Mm-hmm. He has been around for a long time. People grew up with him. It's an established thing. His face makes sense to be on his thumbnails. Right. If he wants to grow outside of his viewership and beyond it and pull in new viewership, if you look at his videos, if you go like search by most popular, his face isn't on them. If you go to Holly's videos, her most successful videos, her face isn't on it. It's like her minifigure videos where she's like comparing, you know, like, or like upgrading the minifigures and doing her custom stuff. So like, it is really fascinating. Go look at like, and I really think it's a good exercise to go do and look at different content creators at different points in their success and a different, you know, growth and different ratios of viewership to subscriber count and click their most popular videos and like see what it is. Is it a picture of them? Is it a picture of something else? Like what is their thumbnail relative to their view count? Which I think is fascinating.
Anyway. Yeah. I think most content creators are piggybacking off of something at the beginning. You have to get that like initial push of viewership. So like in the Lego space, you'd kind of be a fool to like make your first Lego video and put yourself in it rather than putting minifigures, because the minifigure is recognizable. The Lego logo is recognizable. That's what's going to get people to initially start watching your stuff. And then as you go on and build up that core audience, you know, you have 500,000 subs and you're Ryan, you put yourself in the thumbnail. That appeals to the people who know you. And exactly. So, yeah, like you're saying, if you want to grow bigger, it's taking yourself out of the thumbnail, I think.
Yeah. And it's also, I think, a little bit humbling to be like, you know, because there is this like level of narcissism when you're like, you know, who am I? I'm going to sit in front of my camera and record myself talking and show you what I'm doing, or like do a mock that I'm doing or whatever, or like show you me, like who wants to see me go into Target? Like nobody, like absolutely nobody, you know?
And I declare.
No, but yeah, for the millionth you're a time. Member in my channel. Thank you, Shy, for that. No, but no, I don't know. I just think that's kind of, I think it's a harsh way to look at it, because it's like you can, but I think you kind of have to look at it if you want viewership and success and financial success. And it doesn't have to be that. Like you can absolutely sit in that hobby space. You can and have a great time, and like YouTube is whatever it is for you, you know? But I think a lot of people either like have a hard time admitting that they want success, they want it and they don't know how to get there, which I think is a big chunk of people. So
Yeah, I think Shai, you were saying you don't watch any of Mr. Beast's videos. Just I just had
this, I mean, it depends on what he's doing,
I think. Yes. Like something
it's
that
a topic for him,
something I try to do is like, even if I wouldn't naturally want to watch one of these videos, if it has a lot of views, watch it and like figure out why. Why is it doing well? Like with Mr. Beast, it's obvious. Like it's Mr. Beast.
It's a,
he's got it's a, the spectacle, all that.
He has a very very specific equation for what he's doing.
It's also like a, no pun intended, but his channel and his brand is a monster and a beast within itself. Mm-hmm. And like, I think the fascinating thing about him is like listening to him talk about, you know, doing multiple languages, or him developing software that's going to dub, you know, that's dubbing his own videos. And it sounds like YouTube is like, you know, like he's ahead of, he's going beyond the platform that he grew his channel on, which is, or channels, I don't even know, you know, how many he's got now. I know he's like shut down a bunch of those, like, you know, multilingual, now he just is dubbing stuff instead of having like 10 different channels. But
he hasn't shut them down,
but
he's migrated stuff over, I think. I don't know if this was like a creator support episode or something. Maybe it was a Colin Samir thing.
It was a creator. It was a creative video. Yeah. But it's just, anyway, it's, that's like fascinating. That's like a different genre itself. But I feel the same way. Like I'll click on like B3 is, they're like brothers, I think. And they do like cities and they did this, they really got big. They did this, they packaged it the right way. And then they took like, I think series 23, I can't remember what CMF series they did. And they did a city essentially inspired by that. And each building had a story, right? Each building was inspired by said CMF. And then it was developed from there. I really like the idea. I don't think their mocks are particularly fantastic, but I like that the video in theory is like executed really well. And you can see why so many people like it. Right. I force myself to watch those videos. And if they're ever on here, hello, it's nice to meet you. I'm sorry that I'll be honest and tell you, and probably would tell you, but because they are aiming for a younger audience, like to be totally fair. And so it's just not for me, but I will watch it. And it's made me like, you know, Sans will honestly like force me to watch a lot of these videos to like learn why it is that these people are successful. But you have to. I think you need to look and see what's going on. Like with your video, you know what I mean? I clicked on the one with 400K and I was like looking at it like analytically, like why is, and I thought it was fascinating, by the way, too. I clicked on it and I was surprised as to how slow paced it was, because the problem is, and I feel like people probably have the same reaction if they clicked on my two most recent videos, you're packaging it in the popular way, but you're not producing it in the popular way, like as
therein lies my strategy.
That's what I was trying to get at until I was
therein lies my strategy. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's yeah,
getting the click and then going into like the slow thing. But like it is an intentional intro though, because with that mm-hmm. intro, I lay out in the first 30 seconds, here's everything you're going to see in the video and why. So it gives you that value proposition right at the start, so that hopefully you stay throughout. And like, I think that video has like maybe 38% retention or something like
that's
that, which is good for like 14, yeah. a 14 minute video. But yeah.
I think that unfortunately, like you have to say what you're doing in a video in like that first sentence, regardless of the pace of the video. And you can be like, hello, these are my parameters. This is what I'm going to execute. Done. Like whatever that means, you know, or like if you're vlogging, it's like, I'm going with my family to Disneyland and whatever, you know, and like, or if whatever it is, you can tell, you can like move around to different subject matters and you have to have it there. Wait, so Shai, are you saying, are you concerned that like those videos give like, it's like false advertising
in terms of the
pace?
Cause that's what I was trying to allude to was that like, I see like the sacred, the TDs, I know what that video is going to look like. Just like when I watch a Mr. Beast video, when I see the thumbnail, I know what that's going to look like. So I'm prepared to watch it as such. So when I see all these other, and this is not just speaking for me, I know a lot of people have voices too, where like you see a video, it doesn't matter who the creator is, you expect to see that type of paced content. And then when you don't see it in like, you know, think of it as a kid, like you expect to see it at this point. Like you don't, it's not that. So then it drops their retention rate. But you just said it right there, which is interesting. For that 400K video, you packaged it in that way, but it wasn't that when people watch it. And you just said it was a 38% retention. Yeah. Is that good for you?
No, it's actually not that great, but it is one of my longest. I think it might be my longest video, except like a bricklink tutorial. But it's good for the length, I think. For like a 14-minute video, that's not bad for me. For me, like for a video to really do well, I found that hitting between 48 to like 50, mid 50s retention seems to like push the video with in combination with like an 8-10% click rate. That seems to be like the magic combo or whatever you want to call it.
My content ranges anywhere between 45 to 60 retention. So it's just, I struggle with like topic. Like, what am I talking about? And it kind of changes up and in here or there. And I'm just like, I'm in a creator block right now, so I can't really do anything. But like, my retention is always great. The click-through rate changes depending on what I'm talking about. I think if people just want specific things from me. I did the, which is what I was going to lead to too, was I did the TD brick thumbnail a couple of times. They didn't perform well off the bat. They performed like what I would expect it to be, and it just tanks. And then it wasn't until I flipped to my backup thumbnails, like where I'm in it, where it goes back up.
Right.
So like, I feel like for my audience, at least they expect something, and they, when my thumbnail is lost in the sauce, they don't know that it's me. And then until I put myself in it and then like, oh crap, let's watch it. So
yeah, I feel like you have like a certain branding with your thumbnails, and your channel has been around for a while too. So you have that core audience. Like that's probably why you're hitting like higher retention rates too. It's because people who are regularly watching your content, they're already invested before they even start watching.
No, for a minute there, I had a lot of returning viewers. Like the purple line was up above the blue, which is bad. I mean, it's good that you have returning viewers, but then that means, but YouTube's not pushing it. It's just that your own viewers are pushing it, right? But then after like, I think like 8 months ago, almost like a year ago now, like the blue line's gone up significantly. And then the purple line's just been the same. It hasn't really changed. It's the same amount of people are watching it. It's just now that YouTube is pushing it. So the retention's great to put like the, and that's why I was like topic. That's like what I'm focusing on. Like maybe it's a topic because like my click through rate's good. Like it ranges. It starts off like at, you know, 11, 12%. And then obviously over time it drops, right? That's pretty typical. It drops to like 8, 6, whatever. And then over, you know, depending on the video, it can go down. And then if you look at my most popular video, it's the most crappiest video I've ever done. And like it, I'm not in the thumbnail. It's my like avatar. It's not me. But then you're starting to see, like, if you start looking down to what's catching up to it slowly, because a lot of my videos are evergreen in a way, depending, because, you know, the military stuff. The Army videos are catching up significantly.
Right.
And I'm in all of those. So, you know, it's I feel like my content's kind of weird. And I'm still trying to find my place.
Right.
Like, I don't feel like I have it. So,
like, because you've said this for, like, the last few episodes, I feel like you're like, I don't know. I'm, like, I'm lost. It's a mess. Blah, blah, blah. Like, What do you
for
want?
The past month and a half, I just had creator's block. I don't know what you want to do. Okay. I just like, I told you, I just love editing videos. I just love making videos.
God, I hate editing.
I know. After this episode's over, I'm going to spend 3 hours going through it. So, like, it's totally fine.
That's the part I don't like. I mean, I'll do it.
Yeah. I know. I enjoy it. I like making things. Like, whether it be with my actual hands, my motorcycle, making videos, like, I enjoy it. And I enjoy the process of the end game, you know, of the end product from what I've created. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a huge success. Like, I don't hit myself hard for, like, no one caring for it. I'm just happy that I am proud of what I made. Doesn't matter what it is. I'm not talking about, like, Lego. I'm talking about, like, oh, sorry, I could talk about Lego, but then, like, creators or, sorry, yeah, content creation or, like, what I'm building on the side here, the thing that I'm making with my bike, the backyard that I'm building, like, you know, whatever it is. So I just want to be happy that I'm making the process and happy with the result of it. Now, satisfaction with what other people think, I'm like hit or miss. Like, it really just depends. And like on YouTube, it's like kind of weird.
It doesn't really matter what other people think. It's like, if you're not enjoying it, none of these like factors of like packaging, thumbnail, blah, blah, blah. It goes back to the disingenuous thing. It's it's irrelevant, you know?
Yeah.
Go make shorts. You know, like, I don't say, know.
Yeah. Go make shorts.
I watched a couple of the older videos and you've been killing it with these edits. Like the close-ups and everything.
Oh, you like that? I was like, I mean, StreamYard offers it. I'm like, oh, yeah, we can locally record. And then, like, you know, bringing up Brad's like, hey, they record locally. You can do that now. I'm like, what? So then I'm like, oh, we can do close-ups. Let's make the Twitch game not look like it's moving so much and we're ticking. So every time there's a significant cut when there's a big movement, I just close up to whoever's talking.
Nice.
So it's a very subtle thing, and if you won't really notice it unless you really pay attention, but so far people who have noticed, they're like, I just noticed something. Anyways, that's just me. Like I said, the past couple weeks more so, like, I have had huge creator block. Like, I have literally 4 videos done. Like, the A footage is done. Like, me talking to the camera is done. Like, it's cut perfectly. I just don't know what to do with it. So
yeah, creator's block is a real thing.
Well, it's like, you know, I'm looking, we have like an outline, you know, for today, and I'm looking at it, and it's like, I feel like you could say that like what you're doing is almost, you're almost like creating like a self-imposed like content gap. You know what I mean? Like, you're not, there's no like series that's happening. There's no like, it's a little bit like aimless, right? Do you feel like a little bit aimless?
Well, yeah, I'm also waiting like 15 bricks and pieces orders.
Right, which is like continuation on like your army and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. Which is
that's
like
literally what I'm waiting for. Yeah. So that's one of them. I'm waiting for a lot of things to come in so I can continue with that series. Mm-hmm. Reviews aren't fun anymore, so like I can do things for the sake of doing them, but there's this, you know, like, I do have a hype video that I'm excited to make, and it has nothing to do with my channel. It has to do with this one, which a lot of people will probably see within the next couple weeks. But mm-hmm. like, you know, I usually get those videos to hype me to push forward. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, something like that. And like, it's, I always have something in my queue that's like, okay, I need to get there. I want to start doing this. I want to start doing that. And I'm at the point where I'm just like, you're right. I don't have any control of like waiting. Like mm-hmm. of all these things that are coming in. Because I literally, the past 3 weeks, I made like a ton. Peace orders. I'm excited to all making all these things. I just can't mm-hmm. do anything right now. So I've made videos in lieu and like leading up to it, and they were always on my list. Maybe I'm just not excited to make them, and maybe it's just because I'm not like amped up to put energy into it. Like, I'm not proud of it, so I won't share it. And that's one thing. Like, I've been trying to make sure that if I put something out, I have to be proud of it. I have right. to be able to watch it back. If I can't watch it back, I should not put it out the first place.
I agree with that. Yeah. I guess with trying to, I don't know if you're struggling with video ideas. Is that kind of like,
no, I have like a whole
ideas.
It's okay. it's just like, do I want to really do it? Motivation. And usually happens. Like, I'll have 5 videos ready or in the works. 1 I'm excited for, 2 I'm like getting there. Maybe like it comes to the editing portion where I actually get like, oh, this is cool. And then there's like 2 I'm like, eh. And right now I'm just like looking at all of them and I'm like, I don't know if I'm missing something to kind of make me get to the amped part of the creative part of it, of editing it or making it, or like, I just need to start running. you know what I mean? And just see what happens. Usually that's been the case, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't have the fire to pump it up to that direction. Maybe mainly because there's a video that I really want to do, and I'd rather do that first, but I can't do anything.
So I feel like when I get stuck with stuff like that, I think something that helps me a lot is like trying to go out and watch content that's outside of the Lego niche. So I feel like within the Lego niche, we have like these kinds of videos that people tend to make within similar formats, and trying to branch outside of that and just get ideas from other creators on YouTube, because there are so many different content niches out there. It's insane. And people have formats that work within those niches that are totally different from what people do with Lego videos.
Yeah.
So I feel like pulling from those other content creators and trying to incorporate that into like what you do. Like, I feel like for me, some of my inspiration for like my commentary style videos has come from like Drew Gooden, Danny Gonzalez, kind of seeing the stuff they did. They do Noel Miller, Cody Coe, like incorporating some humor into things and stuff like that. Like, I feel like branching outside of the niche for inspiration is a great way to kind of get past that creator's block.
Yeah, I do that a lot. But but the thing is, like, I don't really look at, there's like one or two content creators that I really take inspiration from, and they're in the music side, like music production. And Ninja, I've been trying to like push you in that direction. I don't know if you remember, but like, So I think a lot of my like ideas of how I show my videos from that, I do that. But when I go into the outside consumption of YouTube, like, I don't digest it that way. I take it as entertainment, and I want to enjoy it as a viewer, not as a creator analyzing it. But yes, I do that, but not often. If I see something that I like, I'm like, oh, rewind, how do you do that,
right?
And then kind of really analyzing it from that aspect. But for the most part, like, when I watch videos, it's always in the background.
Yeah,
like, I'm always working. Like,
sure, so you're listening to it or not fully paying attention.
So like videos like yours, when you're talking throughout the entire time, I could digest that very easily because I'm just listening to you talk. Occasionally, I'll look over and I see that you've gone further in your little mock process or the story that you're telling with your visuals. But for the most part, I'm not watching it. I'm listening to what you're saying. And same thing with Claire, like when her latest two videos, well done, well edited. I can listen to it first. And then because I love what she does and who she is, I will watch it again right after when I get the chance. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's only so many people I can do that with, because like if I were to watch any of these fast paced videos, you can't. Like, you have to like,
you
really
can't put it in the background. Yeah.
No, you can't.
Not background content. That's
no, it's not background
blew your
content.
Eyes for retention.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you'll miss half of it, if not more.
Yeah, you'll totally get lost. Like, you have like my wife and I, when we watch movies, and she's like, I'm making her watch John Wick right now because I want to watch the fourth one in the theaters. So I'm like, you have to watch this. If you don't watch this, do not ask me a damn question right after this is over, because I'm gonna be very upset. So like, it's one of those, like, I need to know that I need to know the content's keeping me engaged, like through audio. Mm-hmm. And then I will rewatch it if it's something really like necessary for me to watch. But that's me though. I'm not the best of YouTube, and I'm not kids.
Like that though. Like, that's a very common form of content consumption. So making sure your stuff can translate to audio, I actually think is a great idea. It definitely makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, because you have to have a story of what you're saying. You can't just be BSing throughout the entire time. You have to actually say something that's meaningful, and that people can actually like digest well. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, you can't. Who said that on there? Like, you shouldn't be talking on YouTube like you're teaching a PhD class. You should be talking like this is eighth grade, so everyone can consume it correctly.
Yeah.
Like, the way you talk is a very important thing. I forgot who
said that. That's unfortunate. Yeah, there's a big difference between eighth grade and a PhD, but my goodness.
Well, but I mean, think about it. Like, if you talk very eloquently, you're going to lose out on a lot of people understanding what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And you're going to sound like pretentious. You're going to sound
I'm going to sound pretentious right now. That's unfortunately reflective of the education level of the masses. Like, that's really sad. Yeah. It reminds me of like, was it Jay Leno who would like go around and be like, who's our president? And it'd be like, you know, I don't know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, or like people who, like, he wasn't even in politics at the time. You know, like, anyway, it doesn't matter. It's fine. I'm not going to go on a rant. It's okay.
No, but yes, it's unfortunate that that's the level that.
But yes, I agree. About. You can't. Yeah. No, you can't.
You have to be able to tell a story in the most digestible way.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to try to tell myself it's because like a lot of people don't speak English. And so it's like, blah, blah, blah. But I'm only thinking of that, just like Jay Leno or whatever that used to do that.
Well, I mean, a lot of people still do that too, but they do it in shorts.
Yeah, but I think it, yeah, no, but I think they copied it. Was it either Jay Leno or Johnny Carson who basically started hitting the streets from like a night. It was like a segment on their late night TV talk shows.
Oh yeah, I kind of think I do remember that. Mm-hmm. I do remember that. So shorts.
Yes, I hinted at it.
Mm-hmm. I think shorts are super interesting. Obviously, YouTube is pushing them like super hard. And so like I've been watching them some just to kind of see what are people putting in the short spaces. Like I've put some stuff on shorts and put some stuff on Instagram reels and on TikTok, and the content all performs differently based on the platform that it's on. Okay. And I just do it for the entertainment purpose because like I don't want to be a shorts creator. I'm not really interested in that. Plus like the monetization of that is just like nothing basically right now because of the switchover that they did at the beginning of the month. But I think it's really interesting that you see people gaining tons of subscribers from shorts and trying to see how that translates over into the long form. So like I'm actually apprehensive to post shorts. Like I feel like I could make shorts that could do well, but I almost don't want to because then it would mess with my backend analytics on Studio. Cause I'd go in there and see like, all right, these are the people who are engaged with my content and I see these numbers and everything. And right now I can kind of measure some of my success based on like some of these numbers increasing over time and showing that I'm doing better or whatever. And I feel like doing shorts, it almost like removes that baseline for you.
They separated it in YouTube Studio. So when
some of it's separated, but some like even like seeing like how many views am I getting today and shorts are incorporated in that. Like, you know, seeing how your content performs throughout the week or throughout the month, like the shorts views are incorporated there and they're not equal to a long form video view in any case. And I think a really interesting case for this is to see what Emily's done with her channel and the way that her shorts have popped off, which is great. Like that's super exciting. And the amount of subscribers she's gained is just insane. Like it's crazy to see that like go up the way that it's gone up. Yeah. But I think it's just one of those things where YouTube has not connected the dots yet to put people from shorts over to long form. And so they keep saying that they're going to do that. Like I watched an interview with the guys who are in charge of shorts and like seeing, they're like, yeah, you know, it's going to be a thing. We're going to bring short viewers over to long form. But like even the short form content that you make as a creator is going to be inherently different than your long form content. So people may be interested in your shorts and have no interest in the long form content that you make because they just don't care.
That is okay. Just to piggyback off of that. So there are some people that I hit subscribe to based on their short and start watching their long form content and their content sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like it doesn't equate well. And I'm like, I just rather watch your short form content. So I don't know. I've seen the last live that Emily was on, which we'll probably talk about it. But like she had some people on her live saying that I came to this live because of your short.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I mean, I think like you're going to get some people, of course, right? But if you look at like I was looking at I think I was looking at her channel like the other day just to see like how have all these views like affected your long-term like your long-form content views. And it seems to be like a bit of an increase, but nowhere near like the 300,000 subscriber views increase that you would expect from like the long-form side of things, cuz these are people that are subscribing for the shorts.
I think she's trying to, the topics that she's making for her videos, a good chunk of them are in relation to what she's succeeding well in shorts. I could be wrong because if I remember looking at her views lately, it's like her mock city Rivendell stuff, they're killing it now or have increased significantly from like
It's going up. I mean, but I know that she's still like a believer of the fact that like a short content viewer is a different viewer than a long format. It's a it's definitely a different conversation. I think it was, you know, doing a move like her made sense at the time because she had a channel that was kind of stagnating, you know, in terms of like the specific content that she was doing. She was like maxing out in terms of like who was interested in like watching her do stuff. And so she needed to pull in new viewership. And to do that, this was like a way to do that in a very aggressive way. So she's kind of guinea pigging it for us in a way, you know, to see, but you know, it doesn't just because she did it. It doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't mean that like someone else is going to get like 11 million views on a video. And I think if you really look at her content and why it's so fascinating is that she has the same amount of views on her shorts as like other people in the Lego space. But the translation from views to subscribers is something completely exceptional that happened. Like, there's plenty of people with the same amount of multi-million views on their shorts. Mm-hmm. They don't get 250,000 subs in 28 days.
I really wonder if it's because she made them in a series. It's like the part one through part.
It is.
You know, and you start getting people watching multiple of those shorts and they're like, I like these. I want to see the next part.
It's a combination thing. It's that it's super engaging. She's pulling a comment from someone, a viewer. So it's going to have people commenting additionally in hopes of being in another one. Which is like, I've seen other people in other spaces do that where you like pull a comment out, you know, or a question or whatever. And so it's an incredibly engaging concept that's like simple enough for everyone to relate to. You don't even have to be a Lego fan to enjoy it.
Right.
Right. So like it's a the whole thing is like grasping a wider audience. So mm-hmm. I think there's a lot to break down as to like why they were so specifically successful in translating to subscribers. Because it's definitely unique. You can see a lot of other creators with those same numbers. Like same viewership that don't have those did not have those same subscriber counts.
100%. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I think the fact that it's easily digestible too, like the fact that it can reach outside of Lego YouTube, like you have your Lego YouTube circle, and then there's everything else outside of that, and being able to break through that ceiling is hard.
It's always like a challenge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what about you then? What are your goals for your channel?
I think for the moment, like, I'm just trying to see what I can do with it. It feels like a big experiment to me. I'm really enjoying the process of creating content. Obviously, like, I'm going to continue doing mocks. I'm starting a mock series on my channel soon here. Self plug. I'm going to be building Christophsis from the Clone Wars movie. Very excited about that. So that'll be at Brickworld. Also another self plug.
I'm going to show it. That's cool. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited. I'll be displaying there with Empire Lug. That's where my mock will be.
Oh, that's exciting.
So, are you with Empire Lug?
Not yet, but hopefully.
Are you trying?
They said they got to meet me first, you know, which is understandable. So yeah, really looking forward to doing that. And yeah, so I've got the mocks and stuff. I'm going to keep making commentary videos, even though they don't always do well. I mean, some of my videos that have done quite well is like commentary videos on like droids or clones, but I think that's because I give a controversial opinion that not everybody agrees with, and that drives the engagement on it.
That's a strategy.
It is a strategy. That was definitely the strategy there. I knew, like, with the droid video saying that Lego should remake the droid mold, I 100% knew going into that's a controversial opinion to have. I love the original droid, but I do think that Lego could do something better with it. What that is exactly, I don't know. But just to throw that out there and have people argue about it is going to push the engagement up, because they're going to be saying, no, you're wrong, or I agree with you. But yeah, I think doing the commentary stuff, I'll continue doing that. But really just trying to see how I can aggressively grow my channel as much as possible. Not going too crazy with like the editing or anything like that. I prefer a little bit slower paced content. I do appreciate a good edit, of course, but yeah, kind of sticking with my style. It seems to be working for me. I feel like my channel has blown up a lot faster than I ever expected it would. I mean, I think like I looked it up. I think the average channel with like 10K subs has like 300 plus videos typically. And I'm at like 30 videos. So I think I'm doing something right. but yeah, just continuing to go with that and try and push it as far as I can.
So we'll see you at Chicago.
I'm really looking forward to it. I'm very excited for Brickworld.
Like, Chicago's going to be lit.
It's going to be crazy. I see you guys talking about it like almost every week on here. I see other people like ACOB on there. They're talking about it.
Seems like everyone's talking about it. Yeah. It's going to be, hopefully it's exactly what we expect it to be.
I hope so.
All right. Well, any last minute plugs, where to find you, all that kind of stuff?
YouTube. Find me at Firebird Bricks. You can find me on Instagram, same thing, at Firebird Bricks. I also want to plug for other creators out there. If you're not part of the partnered YouTube Discord channel, it is awesome. There's a lot of really good kind of insider information there. There's people who work for YouTube that are in there. So if you want to get in, just send me a DM and I'll get you an invite. It's pretty cool.
Claire, you want to take us out?
Yeah. On that note, let's roll that music.
Peace. That was a pretty intense content creator episode.
Very content creation heavy content.
Right?